Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message is A Solitary Place. Based on our gospel reading from Mark 1, especially verse 35. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out by himself to a solitary place, and he was praying there. I encourage you to follow your sermon outlines. You'll find it on the back of today's worship folder as we consider our theme, A Solitary Place. When I was a young boy, growing up on my grandparents' farm, I had a special, solitary, quiet place. It was a place I could go to all by myself. It was on a hillside, overlooking the farmhouse and the acres of pasture land. It was to this solitary place that I would go as a young boy to think the deep thoughts of growing up. And today, on many mornings, my solitary place is on one of the running trails in Richmond or in Ladner. It's to these trails I go overlooking the river or the ocean to have a nice long run and to think and to pray. And when the summertime finally comes and the weather warms up, I go 7 minutes outside of my front door and head to Gary Point, where the river empties into the bay. And there I'll set up my chair on a sandy beach all by myself, reading and thinking and praying and enjoying the beautiful, never-ending waves as they come to the beach. How wonderful it is for each of us to have a solitary place. A quiet place without telephones, without calendars, without other people, without the ever-present to-do list. Perhaps that's why we're drawn to today's gospel reading that describes the morning when Jesus got up early, all by himself, and went out to a solitary place to pray. This place is described in the Bible by a word in the Greek that can be translated in various ways. It can mean solitary, lonely, desolate, or wilderness. In the pages of the New Testament Gospel, such a place is where a person goes to come to grips with what's really important in life. It's a place of decision, a place of temptation. It's to this kind of solitary, lonely, desolate wilderness place that John the Baptizer called the crowds to repentance, to turn from their ways to follow God's ways. It's to this solitary, lonely, desolate wilderness place that Jesus went. Do you remember? That he went by himself as he began his public ministry. And there in this desolate, solitary place, the devil comes to him to tempt him to not go the way of the cross for us and for our salvation. And now, in today's text from Mark chapter 1, Jesus is in another quiet, solitary place. And temptation comes to him again. But this time, in quite a surprising way. Listen to the text. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out to a solitary place, and he was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him, and they said to him, "Lord, Lord, everyone is looking for you." Now, I can imagine if I were Jesus, I'd say, "Oh, no. I just wanted a couple of minutes. This seems like such an innocent sentence. Lord, everyone is looking for you. But it's more than just an interruption of Jesus' quiet, needed solitary time. It's also a big temptation. Jesus had just done some pretty wonderful things in a town called Capernaum. He had preached a powerful sermon. He had healed various people of diseases and demonic oppression. He was famous. He was loved. He was appreciated. But now in this solitary place, Jesus has a decision to make. A decision that will take him down one of two pathways. One, back to Capernaum and a life of comfortable popularity. Or two, on to Jerusalem, to a hill called Calvary, an appointment with a cross and with pain and suffering. Jesus' choice was between the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. And in verse 38, we hear his choice. He said to them, "Let us now go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there, for this is why I have come." Translation: I have come to this solitary place to pray and to think and to decide. Now it's time to came to do what I've come to do. I won't take the easy way out and go back to Capernaum. It's time to go to the other places that need the proclamation and demonstration in the kingdom of God. It's time even to go to those places where the people won't even listen to me, where they will reject me. It's time to take the path that eventually will lead me to the cross of Calvary. My friends, here is the heart and soul of the gospel message. This is why Jesus came. To put it in his own words in Luke 19:10, Jesus says about himself, "For I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those who are lost." And when we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my friends, are you with me now? When we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there will be times for us of solitary places, places of choice and decision. Into these solitary, lonely, desolate wilderness places, we also are going to have to make a choice between the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. Between our will be done and God's will be done. Sometimes, these solitary places we find ourselves in are places of upset and disturbance. They'll be places we never would have gone to on our own unless we were compelled to go there. Places like a troubled home life, a lost job, a broken relationship, a loved one in pain, a nagging health problem, an uncertain future. Some of these solitary places are for us, like they were for Jesus, a place of temptation and choice. And decision. Sometimes it may seem that the only godly choice is to keep the problem to yourself, to suffer in silence and to mutter under your breath, "Oh, it just must be God's will that I struggle all alone." But we need to be careful. Sometimes what seems most godly might be the very temptation we need to avoid. Sometimes when our solitary places are places of upset and disturbance, it's not time to suffer alone and to suffer in silence. It's time to cry out to God and to try and to cry out to others and be surprised what we'll discover. In a novel entitled The Town Beyond the Wall, in this novel there's a rebellious character who has experienced firsthand the solitary place of suffering. And he chooses not to bear it in silence. Instead, he cries out to God, "Things are just not right. You, sir, are not fair, God." It would seem to anybody who's reading this novel that this man is going to go, he's going to go his own direction and turn his back on God. But then he confesses out loud to the reader, and I quote his words, "You know, I want to blaspheme. I want to take God's name in vain, but I cannot. I go up to God to shake my fist, ready to shout, but then I see His face. I see His face on the cross. And my shout of blasphemy becomes a prayer of faith, even in spite of me." Now, my friends, most of the time, your solitary places, our solitary places, are not so turbulent. They're quieter, they're more gentle, they're closer to the daily routines of our living. But make no mistake about it, every solitary place in which we find ourselves can be a place of an important decision, an important choice in our life, as it was for Jesus. A wise old pastor, I just love this guy, a wise old pastor was once asked, "Pastor, where was the Garden of Eden located? Where was the place where Adam and Eve were hiding from God when they sinned, and He came to them and said, 'Where are you hiding? Where are you?' Where was that place?" And the old pastor said, "The Garden of Eden is at 215 North Elm Street." The questioner found the answer ridiculous. He said, "No, Pastor, certainly the Garden of Eden must be somewhere in the ancient Mideast." And the pastor said, "No, he has it on fact that the Garden of Eden was located at 215 North Elm Street. Because it was there as a boy. He had stolen money from his mother's purse. And he went to the store and spent it all on candy. And when he came home, he felt so ashamed that he hid in the closet. And it was there to that closet that his mother came to him and said, 'Where are you? Why are you hiding? What have you done?' The Garden of Eden, the solitary place, the place of temptation and decision for him, was indeed 215 North Elm Street." My friends, the solitary place for us can also be the place we decide to follow God's way or to follow our own way. And did you know that this solitary place of decision can be found right in the middle of a sermon? Reuben, what did you say when we were praying as the Board of Elders this morning? Woke you up, didn't I, Reuel? Reuben said, "I saw the sermon outline, Pastor, and I'm wondering, what does it mean that a solitary place can be found in the middle of a sermon?" Well, here it is. Actually, about 3/4 through the end of a sermon, not right in the middle. Well, a pastor named Bill Willimon one day got a phone call, as often pastors do. But Pastor Willimon got a phone call from an upset church member. Imagine that. The man said that his daughter Anne had just decided to drop out of medical school. She had come home for the weekend. She had attended worship with mom and dad, and after the service, she told them her big decision to drop out of medical school. The man phoned the pastor and said, "Pastor, Talk some sense into her. The next day, Pastor Williman sat down with Ann and asked her, Ann, how did you come up with such a big decision in your life? And she sheepishly said, well, Pastor, it was your sermon yesterday. She went on to describe her own solitary place that she was in, right in the middle of the sermon. She admitted that she was in medical school just because she wanted to make a lot of money as a doctor. But the pastor's sermon was about God's call to each of us and that he has an important job for each of us to do. So in the middle of the sermon, she began to think about a satisfying summer she had one year, teaching new immigrant people how to read and write the English language. Right in the middle of the sermon, she decided to leave medical school and dedicate her life to God by serving these people. Now, the pastor was deep in thought about what she was sharing. But then, without thinking, he blurted out, now look, Anne, I was just preaching. Yikes! Just preaching? If preaching does not move people to deeper faith and to make a change in their lives, then I ask you, what is the purpose of preaching? Just ask my wife, Beverly, how many times on a Sunday afternoon I ask her this question, and I quote, is my preaching really making any difference in the lives of these people? Indeed, it's just preaching if during this once per week, 20-minute solitary time, your attention is not on your own special appointment with God. My friends, in every sermon, God has a divine appointment with you. He wants to speak to your heart. Don't be distracted by whatever is competing for your attention. Don't let the devil use these distractions to rob you of the richness of God's message he has just for you. But when you set aside this special 20 minutes each Sunday and focus on his message to you, God can meet you here and set aside a special solitary place just for you so he can speak to your heart and make a difference in your life. My friends, it's my fervent prayer that every sermon from this pulpit will direct you to God's way in every day of your Monday through Saturday lives, whatever those lives bring you. In every solitary place that comes for you, a time of temptation and choice and decision. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while in his own quiet, solitary place, away from the crowds, alone in prayer with his Father in heaven, chose not to stay in Capernaum and take the easy way. Instead, he chose to go on. To go on to the cross. And he made that choice for you and for me and for the salvation of the world. And today, he invites you, when you are in your own solitary place of decision, to follow him. You'll be glad you did. In the name of Jesus, amen.